There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello. Welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight's show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the Worst of Whale? So have a listen, see what you think. I want to talk about the trouble in Hong Kong, which seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. Dominic Raab says Hong Kong security law violates joint declaration. Now, our good friend Tom Tugendhat, Conservative MP for Tunbridge and Malling, Chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee, joins me now. Tom, good evening.
Hi, James. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, you know, sort of getting old, but all right. Tom, what do you think about this now? I mean, China seems to be doing whatever it wants, and nobody is batting an eyelid.
Well, look, we've got one of the world's most, well, it's the world's most populous country and it's one of the world's largest economies. So unsurprisingly, it has an enormous amount of power. And what we're seeing is that power being used. And I'm afraid it's being used against its own people most of all. So Hong Kongers, of course, who are Chinese, are being having their freedom stolen. But also, if you go a bit further west in Xinjiang, we're seeing 1.5 million Uyghur Muslims locked up in concentration camps, effectively, and we're seeing Uyghur women being compulsorily sterilized. And in China proper, if you like, we're seeing Christian churches being closed. It's a very, very repressive state, and I think we do well to remember that.
Why aren't these stories making the headlines over here in the same way, Tom, that the fact that Putin has been giving money to the Taliban, almost putting a bounty on the heads of them killing America and British soldiers, yet you hardly ever see anything in the news apart, I think, we're the only programme that talks about it.
James, look, you've been in the media a lot longer than I have, and all I can say is I don't know. It really astonishes me, because this is really going to be the determinant story for the coming generation, and we really need to wake up to it, because, you know, if we don't start reacting now, and I don't mean confronting, I don't mean getting into a fight or anything, but if we don't start defending the things that matter to us now, then we're going to wake up in a few years' time and find out that we can't defend them, because actually we've already lost the way. And that's simply not acceptable.
But this was the only move they can do, wasn't it, Tom, is to tell the people they can move here, because that really does, that's the only thing we've got to get, and they won't like that, because it could cause a brain drain.
Well, I think you're right, Ash, but there is something else we can do, actually, and I really want to see us do it. It's to partner with others. Look, you know, there are countries around the region and around the world who are as dependent as we are on the international rules-based system. By what, you know, and let's not dress up fancy words. What does that mean?
It
means
China isn't.
Well, they are.
China isn't.
If they are.
But they choose not to.
But they choose, they pretend they're not. Now, the reality is they have so much US debt, most of their trade depends on export, not on internal production and consumption. So actually, if the international rules-based system falls apart, that ability that we all have to trade and travel freely, then the people who will suffer will be, yes, Brits, of course, but also many, many Chinese people. So this is actually fundamentally against China's interests, and I think we need to be quite clear about that.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't seem that anybody is really saying, OK, well, we're going to let those people who want to come over here come over here. And quite rightly, by the way, because they have been British citizens without the right to come to Britain, which seems very strange to me. But they would rather live in their own country. And why not? Of course they would. We're doing nothing. I mean, I'm still very angry, though, about the bounties put on the head of our soldiers in Afghanistan, and nobody is talking about that. And somebody's got to bring it up, Tom.
James, you know my views on that. You're surprised to hear it's absolutely disgraceful. I knew at the time when I was out there that the Iranian government was helping the Taliban to try and kill us. And I knew that...
Did you? How did you know that?
Oh, because it was perfectly clear a lot of weapons that were coming out, a lot of the IEDs had Iranian parts in them and Iranian explosives, so we knew it. But what we didn't know, we knew the Russians weren't exactly in favour. I mean, they were pretty helpful at the beginning, but their mood changed. But what we later, to find out now that they're putting bounties effectively on the heads of my mates in Afghanistan is absolutely disgraceful. It's really shameful.
And why are America not doing anything about it, not even discussing it?
Well, to be fair, I don't know that they're not doing anything. The story broke, and, you know, if I were the CIA or the US intelligence services, I wouldn't be saying what I was doing about it. But I don't know whether they're doing anything or not.
I'm sure they will react. You know, I mean, didn't they kill 200 Russians in one strike a couple of years ago?
The Americans did.
Yeah, the Americans. They weren't official soldiers. I just remember it in Syria, I think.
The Wagner Group, they were mercenaries, that's different. They weren't killed by the Americans; they were killed by the Turks, actually.
Oh, all right.
So don't start stirring it up between other countries, Ash. Please get your facts right.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry
about that,
Tom.
Yeah,
the James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Leicester-style localised lockdowns are just days away from being imposed after dozens of towns and cities saw coronavirus cases surge in the past week, which is going to be terrible news for all of us, isn't it, really? Dr. Peter English, chair of the BMA, joins us now. Doctor, good evening.
Good evening, hello.
Is this really going to be necessary?
It's hard to know without having seen all the data, but we do know that the way that the case numbers were changing, which is what the R value measures, was say that the numbers were almost staying the same and close to going up. And with the relaxation of lockdown measures, it seems hard to believe that they won't go up. And as people have been relaxing lockdown measures recently, this is really only what we'd expect.
Mm. So is it going to get worse then from now on?
It's hard to imagine that it won't.
Yeah.
I mean, so is there any other way of doing it, or is this going to be the best way of sorting it out?
We do need to understand where the cases are and what's going on, because it may not be that not everywhere needs to be quite as strict with its lockdown or whatever arrangements. It may be that other things, other than keeping 2 meters distance, will make it easier, such as wearing masks. It's very striking how in the UK hardly anybody wears masks compared to other countries where it's you get fined if you don't. And they are pretty effective at stopping people from transmitting the disease to others.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I mean, we were told by various doctors that it was a waste of time.
I think there was a lot of confusion in the medical profession about masks. People were conditioned by Ebola, where the mask was there very much to protect the person wearing it from the secretions of the people they were treating. What we're talking about with public health use of masks, where the members of the public wear the mask, isn't to protect them so much from other people. It's because up to 85% of people who have Ebola virus don't know they've got it and can be infectious. So,
right.
You can, if you've got people walking around who are infectious but don't know it, and the droplets that come out when I'm talking now, you can feel the droplets hitting my hand in front of my face.
Oh, I wonder what that was. I could feel.
Well, I can feel them anyway. That's how you spread this disease. But if you wear a mask, the mask catches the droplets. You just don't transmit anything like as much.
Yeah.
Particularly indoors. Outdoors, it seems to be less of a problem because the wind blows them away and the sun burns up the virus. But indoors, it's a real problem. And if you don't have people wearing masks when they're in indoor spaces where they might have to get closer than 2 metres to other people, then there's a risk of transmission. Mm-hmm.
And it will offer some protection, won't it, on actually getting it yourself as well, even though it's mainly to stop you giving it to someone. It is a barrier between your nose and mouth and the outside world, so it's better than nothing.
Absolutely. It's a small, the protection effect isn't as good as the transmission effect.
No.
But of course, if everybody's wearing masks, then you protect other people by wearing your mask and they protect you by wearing theirs.
Of course.
Theirs.
I mean, if a droplet sprays at me, it will land on my mask instead of my moustache, which I might lick or something.
Sorry, I hope, Doctor, you've never seen pictures of his moustache.
One I'd probably look after, So you expect? I mean, why haven't we seen spikes from all these protests and people at the beach? That's a bit unusual, isn't it?
Well, a lot of those events have happened outdoors. As I was saying, the transmission outdoors is much lower. I'm far more worried about the train they travelled on the way there or back, and the toilets they used and the cafes they go into while they're there, than the being on the beach.
A lot of it is happening in factories, food preparation factories. It may be something to do with the refrigeration or something. Could that be something to do? I mean, we get colds, don't we, when we're in the cold? So could there
There's been a lot of speculation as to why particularly meat processing plants, where the temperature is kept down at 5 degrees or lower, have been so prone to it. It could be that with the low temperatures, the droplets don't evaporate as quickly, so the virus can spread. It could be that they're very noisy places and people happen to go up and shout in each other's faces, so they get the droplet spread from shouting. There are all sorts of reasons that we don't completely understand.
But why do we get colds? Because colds is a virus, but you get it when you're in a cold area. So there must be...
No, that's a bit of a myth. The reason you get colds in winter is because everybody's indoors. It's the same as with the COVID. It's
because I normally get one when if I've been out without a jumper or something in the winter, and then I normally get one, you know, a couple of days later.
Well, it might make your nose run, but that's not necessarily a cold. It's not an infection.
Right, okay.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Well, apparently there's a likelihood of 40 degrees temperatures in the UK is rapidly accelerating. Might even go there this year. Who knows?
Wow.
Jim Dale. Oh, he's such a good actor, isn't he?
I love him in the Carry On films. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. You might have thought he's not been doing much lately, but he's now changed to doing weather.
He does a lot of Broadway theatre as well, Broadway.
Oh, does he? Yeah, and the British Weather Service. Yeah. New book out called Weather or Not.
Yes.
Which is quite a catchy title, isn't it? Weather or Not, weather now or not. On Amazon. Yeah. Weather or Not. Weather or Not. I suppose it's because Jim's musical theatre background.
Spelt weather as in W-E-A-T-H-E-R.
Yeah.
Because that's what he thought when he left the Carry On movies. He thought, shall I do weather or not?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's ask him now. Jim, good to talk to you.
James, good evening. And it's 3 months since we spoke and not a lot has happened.
I know. Yes.
You're
a lot has happened, Jim.
With this, all this Jim Dale and all the rest of it. Not a lot has happened. Greatest spring ever. I've written my book and it's published and goes out on 9th of July and some virus or other. That's it.
And you're not doing any more musical theatre?
I never did. As a kid, I was quite good on stage as a kid, to be honest with you. I really was.
Go on.
Yeah, I got a part of my GCSE, English, by acting when somebody didn't turn up and I had to sort of do two roles, or as if they were speaking to me and I was sort of giving my bit and they were not giving their bit, and since you thought it was great and marked me up.
Do you know? Listen, I've got something. I won't go into it too much, but I was with a mate or a friend, could have been male, could have been female, and we were just having a laugh and everything else. And then we decided, we need to do something just to liven stuff up so we thought about improv, because when I was an actor a long, 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 long time ago, I used to love improv. And it's really quite fun. It sounds like that's exactly what you did, Jim.
You are really confusing people, are you not, James?
Am I? Not really. Why? Yeah. You said you were very good at school and you did this.
I was. But I think let's just say the slightly older generation are going to be thinking of that guy. He's still alive, you know. He's still out there somewhere.
Yeah, he's in America. He does a lot of work.
Hang on. Jim. Yeah. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that, Jim. I wouldn't worry about it. It's just, we thought it was a bit funny. And if people are that stupid, then they won't be upset because they won't know.
No comment. Okay,
there are loads of stupid people. None of them listen to my show, by the way. I don't allow stupid people to listen. But there are so many, aren't there, Ash? We're inundated with some stupid people. Because, I mean, I bet even you, Jim, know some stupid people. There are people you know who you think, oh, no, not them again.
One or two drift past and in the wind and all the rest of it to get back to the weather. Yeah, they do, in and out.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, never mind in and out, weather or not, out now on Amazon by this man. Let's talk about weather. That's what you do. That's your profession. You are a weather person.
Meteorologist.
Senior meteorologist at at British Weather.
But he sounds very young.
He is young. Because he said
are you young?
He did GCSEs. He must be young.
I'm young in heart.
Yeah.
I'm definitely young in heart.
Let's talk about this. I know, and we love you because some of your colleagues wanted to charge us for coming on and having a chat.
Yeah, they do.
But we're just happy to plug your book, Weather or Not, out now on Amazon. Tell me this. 40 degrees, I couldn't stand 40 degrees. 40 degrees is the Middle East. How likely? We've been up to nearly, 37. It's not far off, is it?
Yeah, it's not far off. And, the Met Office. The Met Office that put this out, the Adley Centre. 38.7 is our record in Cambridge in 2019, not long ago. And that was a spike, a single day spike, and then the rest of the summer collapsed into a pack of cards, if you like. It was rubbish after that. You're right. It's very close, and they're talking about by the end of this century, when most people listening to this might not be alive, including me. But I think we're going to get.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know. Can't go on forever.
Well, you can with cryogenics. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah. You can. Maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, 40 degrees I think is perfectly attainable in this decade. There's no reason that another one and a bit degrees C temperature is not out of the not out of the remit.
It's only a number, isn't it? It's more about the humidity. I mean, it's more about the humidity, though, isn't it? Because I've been in 45 degrees in the Dead Sea, and it didn't feel uncomfortable at all. I was all right.
And if we get 40 degrees, probably, arguably, the humidity will not be high. You're only going to get 40 degrees when it's relatively low, dry air, and all of that. Yeah, you're dead right. I've been in 40 degrees in a desert somewhere in Tunisia a long time ago, walking it, and it doesn't feel that hot, really.
You got to drink a lot of water, but that's it.
You have. You don't be silly.
But, and some people can't take it. Like the girl I was with, she couldn't even in the shade. She was overheating. Some people physically, it's not in their DNA to take that temperature.
Yeah. It's when you get into those silly temperatures, heat waves and all the rest of it, there's an absolute danger. Some people do suffer, and at 40 degrees, a lot more would suffer. By the way, it's in the book. It would be, wouldn't it?
That was the clips for today, the worst of Whale, or sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Now, it makes you think, this thing, doesn't it? Sort of says, it makes your mind question what's going on, doesn't it? It's like a questioning thing.
Is it? Yeah, maybe it is. It's growing on me. I'll
land on my mask instead of my moustache, which I might lick or something.
Sorry, I hope, Doctor, you've never seen pictures of his moustache. Oh, my God.
The one I'd probably look after, yeah.
Are you the one who gave a dog agent my number? Is that how they got in touch with me?
I'm on a little cut, slice, very small slice, but nevertheless a slice.
Yeah, will you stop Googling everything all the time?
I just wanted to check if I was right. I just thought, I just remember.
No, what he wanted to try and do, Tom, was prove that he was right, okay? He didn't get the hint. Let my big ego get in the way of letting Ron tell us all how we will be fit and healthier. I thought he'd had enough to say.
Well, you have got
really,
a big ego. It does sometimes get in the way of information sometimes.
Damn you, I know. I can't help it. I just can't help it. I'm so sorry.
That was the clips for today, the worst of Whale, or sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.